I'm in a WhatsApp group right now with school. Oh my God, with the mums from school. That WhatsApp group is a wild place. Anxiety, overwhelmingness. I will wake up at, I think I'm getting up early. I'll wake up at 6:30 and there's already 45 messages. What
are they talking about? The PE kit?
School. He's in reception. What are we talking about? The youth is getting books with no words in. What are we talking about? Like, why have you already got 35 WhatsApp messages, Sharon, before 6:45?
We host, we talk, we write, we laugh, we cry, we love. We are Black Mums Upfront.
So girlies, I've been wondering, what have I been doing to make my body ache so much?
All right. This is a family show, Nadira. A family show. This shouldn't be coming out of your mouth.
I knew your mind would go there. Yeah. All the squatting and all that. No.
Oh my goodness. Lucky Donald. Baby number 6, yeah?
He wishes. No, I've been joining Snatched by Lauren. That's Lauren's like workout company. I'm doing the boot camp.
I love that. Shameless plug, not so shameless because I don't care. Yes, so guys, Snatch by Low online subscription workout plan. And my sister has been getting it. Do you know what my favorite part was? When you commented on it, it was like, just got this done with the kids.
Yeah. I had to do it with the kids and they kept up the whole time. And the funniest
thing is, they're part of their PE lessons.
Yeah, why not? You're their PE teacher now, Lauren.
Love that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the youngest, who's about, I don't know, 19 months or something, he was on the floor doing, what do you call it? The mountain climb? Where the knees are up, like you're climbing up the mountain. That. He was so good at it. And I'm aching now, though. But it's because myself and Donald, we've decided to have a bet who can get a six-pack first.
I was going to say, what's brought all this on? Yeah. Like, what's the new...
Donald always likes an incentive to try and lose weight. And so he's like, right, Nanadra, let's have a bet who can get a six-pack first. I've never in my life had a six-pack or even a flat stomach, apart from when I was like 7 years old. But I was like, yeah, I'll go for a more toned figure. And so I've started. I was like, I'm going to do the Snatch by Low.
Know what's going to happen. You're going to do Snatch by Low. You're going to get this flat belly. And you are going to get pregnant because that is what you do.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Me.
He won't be able to resist you. And so how are you feeling? Do you feel like more like energy? Do you feel good?
You know what? Aching. It felt really good to do it, but I realised I've got to be wearing the right clothes. I was wearing some nonsense while I was doing it. Lauren's there in some teeny tiny little shorts, some things strapped around her waist that I don't even know what it is. And
that's
I was there.
Mamba sweat belt. Oh, okay. You can get them at mamba.com.
I literally did it wearing a 90.
Oh.
Did you have a bra on?
I have to. If I can't run, I'll jump with no bra. My boobs would be one dangling around my belly button, jump, whack me in the eye. Yeah, no, I need a bra.
I'm happy for you. I'm glad that you've got your
exercise. I mean, I've only done it once. I've only done one session so far.
I mean, it's a commitment. Because when I see Lauren online, I'm like, what? That is a commitment. But, you know, how did you feel also when Facebook and Instagram went down? Like a couple of weeks ago, Lauren. Like,
that was on the day when it was meant to start, wasn't it?
The first one. I'll be honest, I was so hungover.
You're right.
Because I like to keep it real with my riders. I was so hungover. That couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah.
But I also was like, you need to come back now because
did it not make, this is the thing, did it not make you think, okay, so if without Instagram, without Facebook, because it made us think, because even with March Muses, we do a lot of our marketing via Instagram, via Facebook. Like that is primarily where we get most of our, you know, shoppers from and everything like that. We do other types of marketing, but nothing's as good as, you know, Facebook and Instagram. Did it not scare you a little bit in terms of like, God, what if this all did just never come back? What would I do?
Do you know what? No, I never actually thought that. Because you know what? Them people get so rich off those things. They ain't letting that go nowhere.
They're going to find a way to bring it back.
They're going to find a way. Mark Zuckerberg has backed up the backup to the backup to the backup to the backup. So even when the thing got deleted, he was stressing. Like, he went from the second richest man in the world to the third. That was his biggest issue that day. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't Instagram and Facebook. He knew he was going to find... And you know what? I wouldn't even be surprised if it happened on purpose. This is why I don't trust nothing no more.
Yeah, just to generate a bit of buzz.
But what if you lost your followers, though? It might have come back up, but you might not have had anyone following you.
You didn't have to rebuild. And still we rise, Najwa. Still we rise.
Well, if it was my Insta... I just do, but for Snatched, obviously, people are paying to be in there. Then they go and follow.
Yeah, yeah. I paid my membership.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna. Yeah. I will find you, Lauren.
That's what I'm saying. They definitely go and pay. They definitely go and follow.
But it was really interesting because there's that really good Instagram page, Everyday Racism, which I love following because it has some really good posts and stuff on that. And they actually said, "What would anti-racism and the racism work that we've been doing look like if there wasn't this kind of platform?" And it did make me think, gosh, would Black Lives Matter have been as big as it was if there wasn't Instagram, if there wasn't Facebook?
Certainly not.
No. Like, nope. It's... Mm-hmm. No.
The speed at which it went around the world.
Yeah.
It was impossible. That, yeah. It's impossible that it would have been as big.
It's the biggest, like, news source. That's where I get a lot of my news, you know, of what's happening around the world. And then, like, my dad, bless him, he'll tell me something that happened like 4 days ago. And I'm like, yes, dad.
My mum's like that.
I
go to her, that was in 2019.
And they've only just heard of it.
Someone sent it to you on WhatsApp doesn't mean it happened just now.
No.
Exactly. Do you know my boyfriend's mum does. She's the one that, sends you this WhatsApp spam.
Yes.
So, like, during COVID, Ryan's phone would go up every 45 seconds because she had a new, like...
Every conspiracy, yeah.
A new... I remember I've at one point like she was, like, getting angry at us because... Or got angry at me because Ryan wasn't home, he had to work, and I took Hendrix to get a food shop because, you know, I wasn't going to leave my four-year-old at home on his own. She, like, lost it because of, like, germs and COVID and... And sent him this big WhatsApp thing, and I thought,
Oh gosh.
Get a day off.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
That generation.
They love a WhatsApp chain.
Woo!
Oh, a WhatsApp chain.
Yeah.
The videos.
This to 64 people. One of them ones.
No, my mum's all about the videos, and she sends me so many, and she goes to me, oh, did you watch it? No,
I know.
I don't have the time that you have to sit and watch every single video that is sent to me. I don't. And some of them are long. She's like, yeah, but it's really interesting. No.
Like, no, Mum.
And you look at the timestamp, 2 hours and 15 minutes. She's like, Mum, when have you watched this?
And stop using up all my space on my phone. Yeah. That's the other thing. Like, I need that space. All my selfies that I need to take.
We will be those mums though in years to come.
Of course. Well, my name is Natalie DeVal, and when Facebook and Instagram went down, I spent most of the day refreshing my phone trying to get it back up again.
And I'm the Nadja Butcher, and when Instagram went down, I couldn't care less, but it was quite interesting to, I don't know, see everyone else panicking.
And I am Lauren Thomas Johnson, and now Instagram is back. You should all join Snatch by Low. Ow.
Hey! Hey, I see you there.
We are Black Mums Up Front.
On today's podcast, we're going to have a bit of a heart-to-heart, ladies. A sister circle. We're going to share and we're going to build each other up because still we rise.
Amen. Natalie's in a good mood.
We rise.
Yes.
Damn it, we rise.
She rise.
Get that organ out.
Yes. So as we know, us Brits often tend to focus mostly on the negative. Like, you almost have to always get that one up on each other. I like to call them people 11 ethers. You've been to Tenerife? They're going to go to 11-y. Like, if you say So my cat died yesterday. Someone will say, well, my cat died today. And then the next person will say, well, my cat died an hour ago. And the next person will say, well, my cat actually died 30 minutes ago and it was hit by a car. And the next person will say, well, my cat got hit 10 minutes ago after being hit by a car while he was trying to rescue its kitten, who also got hit and died too.
I just think there's too many cat people out there in this world. Like, that's a lot of people that owns cats. And I really hope they're not single, like, just at home with their cats as well. So I hope you guys are, you have other people. Yeah, total stereotype. But why do we do this, ladies? Why can't we just celebrate that despite the hardships, we are still standing. We are still here. We are still pushing forward.
Amen. You woke up on the right side of the bed, Natalie.
Preaching today.
Do you know what? It's been a long day and still I rise. Okay? Still yes. I'm rise.
And that is exactly what we're going to do today. We are going to celebrate that today. And, you know, it may sound cliche that Black women are strong, but it's true. But in fact, all women are strong.
Yeah, we are. We really are. But that doesn't mean that we don't have our softer side or that we don't need our village. Because trust me, I need that village with all my 20,000 kids. but today we're going to hear it all. We're going to be vulnerable with our weaknesses, but rightly celebrate our strengths. And joining us for today's episode is a woman with a story. She's a model. She's a journalist. She's the editor of Women Alive magazine, plus the author of Still Standing. It's Tola Dol Fisher. Hey!
I love that.
It's such a cute name as well. Tola Dol. I love that.
Thank you. I feel like I want you to go in front of me wherever I go and just kind of announce my arrival with that. That was excellent. I love that.
Without a doubt. That's how we get ahead in life. Absolutely. Yeah. How are you? Welcome. What have you been up to? What are you drinking? What are you doing?
I'm drinking water because I'm an old lady and I'm quite tired, about to go to bed. It has been, but I've just moved to Cheltenham, so I feel like I'm justified in my kind of early nights and calming down as I get a bit older, having left the London nightlife behind me. No regrets.
I mean, everyone's leaving the London nightlife.
I know, like, why is everyone leaving London? But also, disclaimer, I mean, you keep saying that you're old. You're not that old. Like, no. Come on.
I'm in my 30s, and in my 20s, I was doing the opposite of what I'm doing now. But I'm happy with that.
Exactly. I think, why Cheltenham? Are there Black people up there? Down there? To the side there? Where are we?
Where is Cheltenham?
Cheltenham, Southwest, Cotswolds.
God.
There are, I never even think about that, to be honest, whenever I move somewhere, because I've always kind of been the only Black in the village, so to speak. So I don't even think about that really when I move, but there are loads of Black people here, especially in the Cheltenham Ladies College, because loads of rich Nigerians send their kids there. So there's a lot of Nigerians around in school uniform.
Oh, lovely. So you're fitting in then?
I'm fitting, of course. Fitting in well.
And I have to ask, oh, go on.
I hadn't found any plantain yet. I was going to say that's a little bit of a bug there of mine, but I'm sure I'll find it somewhere.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, no, yeah. I need that in my life.
Without a doubt.
And I realise that you say plantain. I've heard the plantain, but not the plantain.
Yeah, because I'm the only one saying it properly. That's what you mean. I'm the one saying it and everyone else is doing.
We're not going to have that debate. Yeah, we're not going to go down that road. But it's fine. We'll forgive you on this one occasion.
Yeah. But you know what? Today, ladies, we're going to have a bit of a chit-chat. We're going to have a heart-to-heart. So I want to ask, how is everyone? And I mean, really, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Really? Are you just fine?
No, I'm not. But isn't that the go-to thing? It's like, oh, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. How are you? Like, that is the go-to. No, I am overworked. Like, literally, my boss has me out here picking cotton. Like, I'm doing a lot at the moment. Like, I'm all over the place. My business is booming, but again, it's a lot. Obviously, two girls running around. It was polling day today, which meant that the school was closed, which meant that they were literally under my armpit. And I always think, why is the school closed? Why can't you just find a pub and let them poll in there? You'll get more people signing up. Literally. No, I'm not gonna lie. I'm nearing burnout. I can feel it. I can feel
oh,
it.
Oh no! Like, it's in my bones. I reckon it's only gonna get worse as you get towards Christmas. Dolly, yeah. What you don't know is that this fabulous lady, Natalie, has wonderful Christmas decorations of color, and obviously, as we move towards Christmas, that's your yeah. season.
That is, it's my season, but it's a lot. How are you, Lauren? How are you?
Girl, I'm with you. I'm tired. I'm overworked. I'm grateful, though. I'm grateful, but I need a holiday.
Yeah.
I need a beach.
And I think it's so important that you said grateful, because that's what I keep saying. So whenever anyone says, oh, how are you? And I'm like, I go into my speech of like, oh, I'm really tired of that. But I'm blessed.
Yes.
You know, I'm blessed. Very blessed. I have a job. I have money. I have, my kids are healthy. Like, same. You know, and I forget sometimes to say that. And I really, really should practice that more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Dull. I think that sometimes moan. I don't think I hate that sometimes. Like, we'll get into it in a minute, but I hate when you say something and then people will say, but you need to be grateful. Okay. Yeah. I am grateful. I'm also really tired in this grateful state. Like, will you let me just be a tired, grateful
I'm
person?
I'm gratefully tired. What's your problem? Oh, and Dol, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's interesting actually hearing what you were saying about being tired and grateful type thing, because I got some good news about my health last week, and I feel like I should actually be way more grateful because the fact that I am healthy, but instead, like, the daily work stuff gets in my head a bit, and I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I've been traveling up and down from London and I just want to sleep. But I actually am really grateful to be alive and to have my health.
What? Tell us, what was the great news that you received?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with cancer earlier this year, quite an aggressive cancer, and had an operation that to remove a tumour, which then apparently didn't work, and had to have chemo. But I was asked to have three, I was told, sorry, to have three rounds of chemo, which is just, they just wrecked my body. So after the first two, I said I wasn't going to continue with the third one. And my doctors were obviously really worried and concerned that it was going to get worse. But I had some blood test results last week say that the cancer, my blood levels show that I'm almost the same level as a normal, healthy person.
Wow.
Yes. So I should be grateful, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Be grateful. So hold on. What type of cancer was this?
It's quite a rare cancer called a yolk sac tumor, but it was in my ovaries. In my uterus, I had one ovary removed in the operation.
My goodness. My goodness. And you just found out like in January, February of this year?
March
this year.
Yeah.
Gosh, how do you even get your head around that? Because I mean, I've had a read of your book, Still Standing, and in there you speak about like the heartache of your divorce and your baby loss. But this was penned before you got cancer, and now this as well?
Yeah, I just feel like God's just rounding up my Job experience. You know, why stop at everything else? Like, just throw health in there as well, no?
Yeah, just add it in. It all comes in threes anyway, so you know. Yeah. Just add it all in.
So how do you even comprehend that like all these things keep happening?
I didn't, you know, what worse things happen to people is what I remind myself. And it sounds so cliche. Like, I just don't like being sad. I don't like it. So I will at any expense, like try just remind myself of the things I have to be happy about and joyful for, and just try and create joy around stuff. Not say that I'm never upset or never sad or, you know, never like really annoyed about the shitty things that have been happening, but I just get bored of being low. And I have had so many people praying for me. My friend said she was thinking about me and saw like a bed, angels around my bed. And I just feel like I just feel so grateful people taking time out their day to pray for me. People that don't even know me through the magazine, through the listen to Premier Radio. I keep this word grateful now, it's coming back to haunt me a bit, but I am just so grateful. So, but I completely agree with you, Lauren. Like, actually, even if you are in a feeling like you should be grateful, you also should acknowledge the things that you're not happy with, because that's it's still very relevant and God still cares about those things as well. I just personally don't like being down. I just get bored of myself moaning, so.
Love that outlook.
Yeah, I get bored of myself moaning as well. But you know what, it got me thinking like how I would actually cope with like such random sudden news like that. I don't think I'm I wouldn't be prepared for it, especially if they told me it was aggressive. And so I'm now thinking ultimately that I'm going to die tomorrow. Like, that's where my head goes. And I'd be like, oh, what am I going to do about the kids? And then, and this and that. Are we ever prepared for that kind of news?
No.
Why? No.
No.
Never.
No. I think you are.
You know, I get upset.
But it happens
like,
to so many people.
Yeah, but it's just, yeah, it's what I would love to learn is how to, like, how to pick yourself back up again. Because yeah. I think I know how to pick myself up again, but I think I just kind of go into like autopilot and just carry on working through pain or whatever. And then whatever joy comes, it comes. But so I don't really know much about your story, but Nanadra obviously was dropping some few things there. So a divorce, baby loss, and cancer.
And you're
girl
still young.
Girl, that's a lot going on. Is that in like a quick succession, or has that happened over like an amount of time?
The cancer was only this year, so that's fairly recent. My child was born and died in 2012. Then I got divorced 2014. And then I say, like, I spent the next like 3 or 4 years just drunk, basically. I was trying to just distract myself from just reality. And maybe that was me, like, that's the kind of like mixing like the joy of like partying and being out with actually, I'm just like buried under grief that I didn't want to acknowledge or couldn't acknowledge. I honestly, I can't really explain how I'm kind of getting over it. I think it's just God and like just having really good like friends and family, because I feel like I am built for destruction, because I can get quite depressed about things. But I don't know. I always seem to kind of find the way up again. I don't think that's just because I'm an amazing person. I just think I've got incredible people around me that are really supportive and like help me.
Yeah, it takes a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Natalie, you were saying, you know, you just push through and get on with things. So I was actually living by myself in London until Feb this year when I moved to Cheltenham. But because I've been living in London, all my treatment was in London, and I was annoyed. I was like, why did I move to Cheltenham? You know, if I stayed in London, I would have been fine going to hospital by myself. I wouldn't need to ask them anything. But because I moved to Cheltenham, I had to ask friends and family to stay with them when I was in London and get support from them, which benefited me in the long run. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when these things happen, you're like, what, you know, you can't really explain it. But then I feel like God just works things around those awful stuff, so good comes out of it. Mm-hmm. I got so much closer to family. I wasn't trying to do it all in my own strength, which I would have done, because I'm such a, like, you know, strong, independent woman. I had to ask for help. I had to accept help. And I'd never done that before. And I feel guilty doing it. And now I'm like, you were sick, so you have to do that.
With your friends that helped you, because I think this is a question that we get quite a lot. And I, you know, when we talk about depression, postnatal depression, and any type of like down, what were your friends doing in order to lift you up? Like what, because, you know, what should I do if I've got a friend who's really down? What helps you to kind of just, what were they doing to lift you?
Yeah, good question, actually. So one thing I feel like didn't help me very much, and people instinctively do it, say, what can I do for you? What can I send you? And I'm like, really? don't ask me
That's
questions.
Not helpful.
Just do it. Just do it. Just have a look at the situation and go, ah, she hasn't eaten for 5 days. Look at the size of her. Let me get her some food.
It's exactly that. And I've had a friend who sent me food parcels. She just, all she said was, what's your address? That's all she asked me. And I just gave it, because it just, everything else is, you're trying to work out stuff with the doctors and the hospital and appointments and the same decisions to make. It's nice for someone not to have to, you know, to take that decision out of your hand a little bit. Mm. So yeah, I think taking initiative is, I found really helpful, and not asking me, like, just Google it or ask people that, you know, maybe have gone through something similar, what would have helped, or think about it. If it was you, what would I want at this time? And just do that. Yeah. It's the thought that counts, I think, normally anyway, even if it's something you don't want, ultimately.
No, without a doubt. What did you do, Lauren? I know that you suffered with postnatal depression. And so what did your village do to help that? Or did they not?
Did they even know?
Well, if I'm honest, for a while, I didn't even know. So if I'm honest, it was more Ryan. Ryan just whenever I had an anxiety attack or I was feeling depressed, because he noticed that I don't like, I'm an emotional person, but I hate emotion, how weird that is. I don't like really showing it. So he used to be like, cry, let it out. And I'd be like, no, no. And he'd like, let it out, cry. Or then he'd try and make me cry. Like, then he'd go and hug me and I'd be like, why are you hugging me?
Oh, yeah. And then don't touch me if I'm low, because yeah. I'm just going to cry even more.
Exactly. But if I'm honest, it just used to help. Like, I've started freaking out in like Morrison's. He'd just be like, put the stuff down and just cry. Just let
but
it
what
out.
What were you freaking out about? Like, what was triggering you?
Honestly, it could be a packet of Doritos because I just couldn't make the decision and I never knew if the decision was the right decision. And it's just, honestly, when you've got postnatal depression, your mind is so... I used to think, is Hendrix going to get cold in Morrison's? I think, if I'm honest, now I've kind of gone back and evaluated my postnatal depression, I think it was PTSD because my labour was horrendous. I almost died. Hendrix came out not breathing. He was really ill. He had, his infection count was really low. He had to get a lumbar puncture in his back a day old.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think I've just now, 5 years on, I've thought about it. I think, you know what? I think about a little bit of PTSD. I think I need therapy.
It was trauma.
So, yeah, so I think that's what it was. Yeah, so I think when I was in, like, there was one time we came back from the hospital and I kid you not, it was one of the hottest days of the year. I must have wrapped Henny up in a, what's it called when you...
you swaddle them.
I swaddled this poor kid, put a hat on him. Ryan came to the top of the stairs because we lived in a flat at the time, and Ryan went, babe, you're in T-shirt and shorts. This kid is going to die of heat because you've wrapped him up. What is wrong with you? And I just had it in my head that he'd get a cold and he'd get ill and then that would be it. I just had this irrational fear. But yeah, my family, my friends were really good. My friends, just like you said, were just very like, they made the decisions. They'd just come up because my best friend lives in London. So they'd just be a weekend and I'd open my front door and she'd be there. And I'd just be like, come upstairs. But she wouldn't have to be like, do you need me? Do you want me to? She'd just be like, I'm just going to come up because just you're losing it. Yeah. So yeah, wow. I will say.
How long did it last for?
My anxiety, like my freakouts would last probably like a good 2 days. I'd be a bit freaked out. And then once I've kind of let it all out, I'd feel a lot better. But my depression, are you ever not depressed once you've been depressed? Does that make sense? I feel like once you've suffered with depression or you've had depression, I think.
It's just a part of you, men.
Yeah, and you just
learn to live with it.
Live with it. And I don't always think it's a negative thing because I always say, being down is good because sometimes when you're down, it makes you appreciate your highs and your ups and that feeling of feeling good. It makes you appreciate that feeling. So I do think, but I always just say to people, don't live there. Don't unpack there. So don't, when you're feeling low, don't, you know, when you start thinking of stupid scenarios like, oh, and you start really making yourself even more down. I try and when I'm feeling down, I try and think, right, well, what is it that's making me feel this way? OK, I'm due on my period. That's why I'm being a crazy person. OK, they'll be a crazy person for
it's
a good 5 days.
It's quite nice to pinpoint it in it and be like, oh, yeah. Actually, this is why I'm like this. This is why I'm doing all
and
of
I just
this.
Now, and I now try and like, I know in March for me, that's when I had a miscarriage. So I always know I'll be feeling funny. I'll think, why am I feeling like this? Why am I being crazy? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Just try and acknowledge what it is that is causing that feeling.
I think that's so good that you can kind of pinpoint it. How, Dole, I know that you lost your baby and she, how did that make you feel? Obviously, it's not a great feeling. But like, was there anything that you felt happened or like what happened?
Basically, I was just bleeding throughout my pregnancy and that forced me to kind of go into spontaneous labour. So I should have been on bed rest, should have been stitched up. But the signs are kind of just missed by my midwife and stuff, which made me really angry for a long time because I felt like it could have been prevented. Yeah. And my doctor kind of just kept on saying, oh, it's just one of those things. These things happen. And I was like, no, they don't just happen. They happen because people make mistakes and miss stuff. And that's not okay. So, yeah, it was really tough. And I also went through a period of thinking, I had an abortion when I was 18. Maybe this is like payback. God like hates me, you know, all this like nonsense. Mm. So yeah, it just felt really like it was all my fault. I remember actually saying, I'm so sorry to my husband, then husband.
When I said that she died,
I felt like my fault for having an abortion, my fault for not pushing harder for the doctors to go to hospital and be stitched up and all this. And it was obviously like horrible and traumatic, but I think my then husband filed for divorce not long after that. So to be honest, I don't think I really grieved for her until a while after our divorce, because I was fighting for my marriage straight away, basically. But she would have been 9 this year. Yeah. It sounds weird, but I have a 9-year-old. Yeah. And I just feel a lot more at peace about everything. Obviously it's 9 years ago, but I mean, not that you ever really forget it, but for me, there's definitely a peace around it. And I had to get to face the fact that with one ovary left and, you know, advancing in age, like, I may never have my own children, which at one point would have really scared me. But now I'm like, you know, it's fine. It's one of those things.
So you genuinely feel at peace with the idea that you may never raise a child?
No, I would never. I'm at peace with the fact that I may never have my own child, but I would love to foster and adopt. Okay. I would love to be in a position to do that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Dol, you just said so many things there. And I was like, I don't want to interject, but you suffered the loss of your baby daughter. And then soon after, your husband filed for divorce. Now, he's not here to defend himself.
Well, does he need to defend himself?
What can you say? What can you share?
I mean, he's not here to defend himself. But...
Natalie's ready. She's rolling up.
I'm ready.
Sleeves.
I'm ready. Tag me in,
I'm
man.
Like this.
Tag me in.
Rolling up them sleeves.
Laura's rolling her sleeves up.
Yes.
I don't know. He was just selfish. He's older than me, you know, 9 years older than me. But I just think it made him, I think he just thought, actually, I don't really want this. And this is my chance to kind of get out.
Mm. Has he had children since?
I don't know. Oh. I don't believe so. He does get back in touch occasionally, and I'm always like, why? Leave me alone.
And is that a trigger for you, like when he gets in touch?
It was a trigger for, I mean, there are so many things with my ex. I don't really want to be blasting him, to be honest, but there are so many things with this guy. Like, every time he got back in touch, I was like, oh, maybe this is because he wants to, you know, reconnect for our future. But then he got married 2 years ago, so I don't know what he'd still be wanting to reconnect about.
But you love. And so it's just that kind of like, I'm a bit of a romantic. I always kind of feel like, oh, maybe this is meant to be, and then something will happen, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no. It's not meant to be. No, but with him, I'm like, no, he's over it. But anyway, yeah, I think he just realized like he didn't want this. His parents said to me, you know, it's not about you, it's about he has an issue with the institution of marriage. And I'm a bit like, well, then don't marry me.
Yeah. Literally. And how, like, I know when I broke up with my ex, that first maybe like 3 months were really weird. And I remember going to sleep and the kids were in the other room and I felt like I heard someone running up the stairs. Like, I don't know whether it was my mind playing tricks on me or whatever, but I was so sure that I heard someone run up the stairs and almost like come into the room. And obviously I was probably like dreaming or something like that. But it was the fact of, I think, being alone and being the only one in the house was probably really scaring me, because I was with someone for like 10 years. And so all of a sudden, I'm not with someone. I'm in charge of these two kids and I'm all alone in this house. Like, and I'm so used to, like, do you know the thing that like I kind of miss was like, he would go and like lock the door at the evenings and make sure that all the windows were shut. Like he'd do like the quote,
the spiders,
the man thing. Yeah, the spiders. Like those are the things that I like definitely
miss. Those are all the things I do in my house. Ryan, if you listen to this, fix up.
But I think that notion of being alone really did scare me for a good, I mean, I don't really like being alone now, but you know, I've got my children and I'm very busy and stuff like that. But you know, that notion of being alone, especially in that first year, it took me such a long time to kind of feel untriggered by it and happy with that.
And especially if you kind of dreams for the future, like you're settled into a relationship and you assume that it's going to last for quite some time, if not forever. And you just think, oh, okay, so in a few years we might do this together. Or, oh, when we're older, we're going to go on that kind of holiday. It's like the loss of your dreams.
Yeah, your mourning. Well.
Absolutely.
I mean, how do you come to terms with your new normal when you haven't, well, you can still dream, of course, but your dreams were with another person?
I think you have to be really positive for me. I sometimes feel like I might not ever love again. Like,
oh no.
I know. Really? And that's really sad. I know. But because I was so in love with him, like I sometimes feel like I would never, ever love again. And my mum will go, oh no, Natalie, don't say that. And it's true. I shouldn't say that. But you know, you just, I don't know. Just, it's been like 3 years. Like, I just feel like, will I ever love someone the way that I loved him? Or will I ever meet someone who will love me in such a way that they just want to just be with me all the time? Will I?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. Not right now. Not this second.
And that's why. Yes. And that's why it's not happening yet.
But what
that's why it's not happening.
The postman. What happened to the postman? Is he still knocking?
What? I haven't seen him. Oh my gosh. I had this postman was like just getting extra friendly. But you know, since that pod, I actually haven't seen him. And I don't know if it's because I've gone back to work and I'm like more in the office now than I am at home.
Or he listened to the podcast.
Or did he listen to the podcast?
I was going to say that. He listened to the podcast and he was like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Because he has all my details. He's got my name, my address, like everything.
He's Googled you, 100%.
He's Googled me and like checked me out. But no, I haven't actually seen him for a while. But yeah, I do want to meet someone. I do want to be in love again. And I want someone to love me the way that I should be loved. But then there's that self-doubt, that voice inside going, but maybe you're not lovable, Natalie. Maybe you will never love again.
Oh,
don't know why it sounds like that.
I do think it sounds very simplistic, but I do think like you will get what you want. Like you have to want it to get it type thing. And just those voices will come back to kind of destroy any hope you have, but you have to kind of just play them down and ignore them, know that they're there. Just like, it's like this thing about depression, which they call the black dog, right? Like it will come up and you have to push it down again and just have that battle, but know that what you want is what you want, and that's okay.
How do you thrive though, like when you're single but you know you don't want to be single ultimately? Can you still thrive and really enjoy your everyday life?
Short answer, I'd say yes. But I mean, I wonder if you find it easier as like a single parent. Do you consider yourself a single parent? Because obviously, is your ex still in the picture now?
Oh yeah, no, we co-parent really well. But I am a single, but yeah, I do most of the work. I'm the single mom. They live with me like 24/7. Like,
and you are thriving.
Yes.
If there was ever somebody who is. But you know, I only say that because I know there's some people when they're single, they're forever thinking, oh, but I don't want to be single. I want to. And they're not so focused on now and actually making their life wonderful today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But they're thinking about the future. Oh, at Christmas, I'll be alone. Oh, at whatever, my birthday. And so then they don't thrive.
Yeah. And I think social media plays a huge part in that as well. Massive. Like you... Yeah, like I watch Lauren's socials and I'm like, oh, look
no,
at her
girl,
with her partner
and
her house
and
doing all the things. I'm like, oh, I just wish I had someone who was just like that and could just
I
do
know.
All that. But you do, you look at socials and you just think, oh, why isn't that me? And, you know, I am very envious, and I say envious and not jealous. I'm envious because it's what I aspire to. I do want that kind of, you know, that family unit, that partner that's going to be a rider, that, you know, someone is just going to be there.
But I will say that, and this is going to sound really cliche, but I've been in a lot of awful relationships. I was in abusive relationships. I was in a lot of awful relationships. And one thing I can say now I am with Ryan, I am the happiest I've ever been, and I love him to death. But I can say I finally, in this place that I am, love myself. And it sounds so cliche, but I'm actually at a place where my self-esteem is finally where I wanted it to be. Because I think we sometimes get confidence and self-esteem confused with each other. You can be a really confident person. I was a super confident person. Bad girl, low, you couldn't tell me nothing. But I let men treat me like doormats, and I let one of my ex-boyfriends used to hit me, and he hit me, and I'd be like, oh my God, he loves me. Girl, no, he doesn't. And I can say that, and again, like I'm saying, it sounds really cliche, I do think that when you are single and you are on your own, you have to just get to a place with yourself where you actually, and it sounds so like an Instagram flipping meme, you do have to self-love and actually just love on you, love yourself, and get to a place where not you're okay to be on your own, because it sounds like, so for example, if me and Ryan broke up tomorrow, I would be upset, don't get me wrong, but would I be good? Yeah, I would be good, because I know I'm at a place where I love me. I am happy with where Lauren is right now.
But were you in that place before you met him? Or did meeting him help you to get to that place?
I will admit, meeting him has helped me, but I think it has been all the life experiences.
Well, this is, I was about to say, and it comes drama. With age, doesn't it? It comes with age, yeah. With knowledge, with, you know, power. Because I'm fine on my own. And I kind of feel that if I was to meet someone and it didn't work out and I was on my own again, like that, I've done it. So that fear factor is gone. Yeah. Kind of vibe. So no, I completely know. But like, I mean, Dol, how do you create joy? How do you self-love? Like, what are you actually, are you like, when we talk about self-love, is it just running yourself a bath, or is there something more deeper than that?
It's the lingerie, isn't it, Dol? I know you love a bit of lingerie.
I actually don't like baths, first of all. So I don't understand that obsession with baths. Like, my skin just gets dry, like I'm wrinkly, and I just don't get it. Much for a quick hot shower and then out, done, really easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are always like, why do you buy lingerie? Like, it's really expensive, because it's just you that sees it. And I'm like, yes, I'm the one who sees it, and I love it. Like, I have love a really, that. Nice. I love seeing these beautiful things. So it's important to me that I look.
So you always have sexy underwear, because that's the one thing. I will wear the same bra for about 7 days straight. Yeah.
That makes me feel so sad.
Yeah, and I've got nothing matching. Does that make you feel sadder? I've got nothing matching.
I don't mind them not matching, but I've got friends who tell me they buy stuff from their underwear from Asda. I'm like, nope, they want to hear that.
Yeah,
really?
Asda, Primark, I'm there. That's
I love
me.
That for you there.
Because they're the comfy ones as well. The lingerie and the little lace bits, and they're digging in or going up your backside.
So are you like waxing on a daily then to make sure that it all looks great as well? Or are you not into waxing either?
Can I just tell you one good thing come out of chemo is that I haven't waxed down there for ages, it's like months.
Love that for you.
Nothing going on down there.
Oh my God.
But when it comes back, it's going to be itchy.
No.
That's what I remember. It was itchy.
It may not even come back, you know. It may just stay.
That might be just now your journey. Love that.
Well done. So where are you getting your lingerie from? Like, what are the shops that we should be going to if it's not Primark and Asda?
Just places that make lingerie as that. I have a real thing about only buying things from places that make that as their primary thing. So my lingerie is mainly from Argent Provocateur, which is very spinny. So I'm not going to advise everyone go there. Yeah, but like Blue Bella is quite cheap, and that's like really nice underwear. I was so sad when the Senza closed down years ago now. Do you remember the Senza? It was so nice. It was so cheap. I really miss that. But also, my boobs are like 32E, so I can't just buy stuff cheap anyway because I don't have my size, which is really annoying. I would say Blue Bella is probably like a good, like, cheap option. There's also
I've never even heard of any of these. I literally know.
That's because you've been in nursing bras for like the last like 10 years.
Yep, definitely got one on now. Yeah, and they do nothing for me. Nah, good old M&S.
M&S is good as well because
M&S is expensive as well.
Yeah. No. Okay, so lingerie. We need to get good lingerie. That's going to help us.
No, you don't. This is just, I think everything is very individual as well. Like, okay. It's really important to me that what I wear is very important to me and how I look is very important to me. Maybe it shouldn't be as much, but it is. And I just happen to love lingerie. So it's important to me, but I'm not saying that's what everyone should do to find joy because it may do nothing for you guys. And I can't be held responsible for your bills.
Yeah, like she told me to buy a bra and I still feel crap. Okay, thanks for that.
And now I'm broke.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't eat for a week, but I have nice boobs.
Yeah. And also just, this is going to sound so like cheesy, but just spending time with people that I love, that make me laugh. I love laughing. It sounds so basic, but if I have a day where I haven't laughed, I just feel something's wrong. Like I just feel like I've missed something. I want to laugh. So seeking things out that make you laugh. Yeah, exactly.
Good belly laugh, even laughing at yourself.
Yeah. Lauren, you make me laugh a lot. Just your facial expressions even.
Thanks.
Look, man. You're doing it now.
No, but I think that sister circle vibe, which we talked about at the beginning of the pod, of like when you get all your girlfriends together and you put the world to rights. And you know that obviously, like that's just you and your views and stuff like that. But yeah, I love, obviously with lockdown and stuff, it was hard to do that. And there was only so much Zoom one person can take.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that interaction is so important. That's why it's important to have a bit of a village. And I know that some people, not everyone has friends. And you know, I was watching, I can't remember what it was, this morning or some show on morning TV. And there was a woman who has no friends. She literally, and I think Holly was like, but why? Why don't you have any friends? She's like, I don't have any meaningful friendships. Like they are, I know people and I say hello. Asshole.
If you've got no friends, excuse my friends, you have to be an arsehole. Don't be out here talking about these people. It's you. Because everyone's got friends and you don't have friends. You know people.
But nah, some people might not have friends, Lauren.
Nah.
Like, and they're nice people.
Then it's you.
I'm with Lauren on this one.
Yeah, sus.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's quite easy to have a lot of friends, but not necessarily have that one or two or three people that you can really go deep
quality
with.
Quality over quantity.
And yeah.
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 But was she unhappy about it? Was she just saying like...
She was matter of fact about it. She was really matter of fact. And that's what made it even more interesting. I was like, wow. She wasn't like upset. She wasn't happy. She was just kind of, and Holly, I think it was Holly Willoughby. She was like, you know, she's like, oh, really? And you know what? Trying to really get down to the bottom of it. And she's just like, I don't have any girlfriends. I just, you know.
Does she have guy friends? Is she friends with lots of guys?
Oh God, I can't remember. I really can't remember.
I do reckon a lot of guys are like that though. I know a lot of guys that can't truly open their hearts to anyone.
Yeah, they know a lot of people, but in terms of like...
Sorry.
Lauren chose violence today.
If you attract what you attract, right? And if you're not someone that people want to go to, there's something wrong with you. I do kind of... There's something in that, I think. I do think there's something in that.
The facts are the facts.
Have you all got lots of friends then?
I have... Do you know... Friends, I don't have a lot of friends, but the friends that I've got are like my friends. A lot of my friends I've known for like 20 plus years.
Yeah.
I've played basketball with them. I've come up with them. Like, if you are a new friend now, be grateful because...
I'm no new friends. I'm literally like, you know, like keep
it... But I find that weird. Why? Why can't you have a new friend?
Because I get jealous. Always. Like, whenever Andy goes out and like, she says she's going out with a friend, I'm like, which friend? Which friend is this?
That's me.
Where are you? Where do you know them from? Where did you meet? Who is she? Is she really a friend if I don't know her? And the answer is no.
Okay. That's what I say to Rach. My best friend calls me and she'll be like, oh my God, I was with this girl from work. She's so funny.
Who?
And she's funny? Jokes. Oh, she got jokes. She's the funny friend.
I'm like that. My work wife.
I'm the funny friend.
My work wife she's just left and she now works at TikTok and she keeps posting this girl. I'm like, stop posting her on your Instagram. We talked about this. Yeah. There's no need to keep posting her. We get it. You like her, but she will never be me. Okay. So just calm down. I'm really bad. I'm sorry, guys. I am. But I'm a jealous friend. What can I say? I take my friendships really, really seriously.
Really serious.
Wow.
Really
Imagine being your lover then. Are you a jealous lover?
No, I don't think I am.
What?
No, I don't think I am. I think that's completely different. I can be paranoid, definitely. But I think that's because of certain traumas of being in certain relationships that have certainly made me paranoid. But no, my friendships don't make me paranoid, but I'm just... No new friends. Like, it's us.
Do all your friends have kids? Because what I find is when my friends have kids or have had kids, they kind of drift. We've started to drift apart because they're really busy with children and they, you know, they can't get time off or they just move away. Have you kept
Do you feel
friendships?
Like you even want to hang around with all the friends that have got kids? and who are always talking about kids or have smelly, snotty kids around them.
Yeah, I've literally always loved children. I used to work in the crash from when I was quite young at my church. I literally love children. So that's not ever an issue. It's more like they're just busy. They're like, you know, they often start becoming friends with the children's friends' parents from the school or whatever, nursery. And
Lauren's like,
not
no.
Natalie.
Lauren's
that is
like,
not
nah.
my journey. I'm in the WhatsApp group right now with school. Oh my God, with the mums from school. That WhatsApp group is a wild place. It is giving me anxiety, overwhelming. Yeah. I will wake up at, I think I'm getting up early. I'll wake up at 6:30. And there's already 45 messages. What are they
talking about? The PE kit?
School. It's in reception. What are we talking about? The youth is getting books with no words in. What are we talking about? Like, why have you already got 35 WhatsApp messages, Sharon, before 6:45? I had to say to the group today, I said, respectfully, ladies, this is stressing me out.
Did you?
Like, what's wrong? Yeah, I had
you
to give
took
it,
on,
had
You to, took on the mums, Lauren.
No, I had to. Because I said, because between the text messages, the mum and parent app, Tapestry, my child only not still hating school. He's been there 3 weeks now. It's not his journey. And this group, 35 messages before 7 a.m. And the joke is about four other mums was like, oh my God, I'm so glad you said it. I feel the same way. I'm so glad you said it. I feel the same way. I thought, you know what? If I have to be the bad guy, I'll be the bad guy because you guys are wild. You're wild. It's a wild place.
Yeah. I've got friends. I've got a very big mix of friends. Some of them obviously have kids and some of them don't. But my children, especially Sophia, my 10-year-old, she's probably one of the oldest out of my group of friends with children. So Andy and I had kids kind of like around the same time. And then the next kind of kids came along like a good like 6-7 years later. So I think I think I've got a mix of friends, but I quite like having friends that don't have children as well, because you can really like, you can do more of them.
I always feel like all my mummy friends, when I finally see them, they're like wild. Like, they're like, no kids, yeah. Like, chill out.
It's a luxury.
Because we've not been out in a while.
Yeah.
It's a luxury. It really, but then on the flip side of that, when we were in lockdown, one of my best friends, she lives in America, and she lives alone in America. And she asked me, oh, so Nat, what are you up to? And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I've got so much washing. And she was like, I would come round and do your washing if I could. That's how bored I am. Like, I would happily do your washing. And I was like, oh, you don't think of it like that side. I just think that if you're single without kids, you're free. But actually, maybe it's a different side of it.
Especially in lockdown, I think it was like really isolating, like horrifically. Because you can only, I think your own space is really good, but I don't think we're created to live to be alone. I don't think it's natural. So it's quite tough.
And when I contacted you, Doll, about being on the pod, you were like, but I'm not a mum. Why would I be on the Black Mums Up Front?
But are you a mum? Like you had a baby. So do you consider yourself a mother or not really?
No, I don't.
No.
You don't?
No. And it's because, and you know, I haven't had the experience of like bringing up a child and the stuff that you're talking about, like, you know, crazy.
But is that what makes you a mother, do you think? Just all that side?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I would consider you a mum.
Oh, thank you.
Because once you have done any type of journey of carrying a human being inside your body, girl, you a mom. No matter how long it was for, 5 weeks, 5 days, whatever, the minute if you know that, in my opinion, you're a mom, because pregnancy,
wild.
Again, wild.
Wild.
And you know, this week is actually Baby Loss Awareness Week. Do you find weeks like this helpful, or do we find them that it just triggering and just would rather skip the whole week? For me, you know what? It's been 3 years since my daughter died during pregnancy. And I'd say up until this Baby Loss Awareness Week, I've been quite okay with it. I don't know this year if I'm ready for it next week. And I don't know if it's because I've had an uber emotional, hard year with my husband being super ill so much. that maybe emotionally I'm not there. But this year I feel like I kind of would just like to sleep and wake up on the other side of it and not be reminded every time I go on Instagram or turn on the news that it happens.
But it's important.
Yes, I was going to say, but I know it's a good thing to have because there is a taboo around it and not enough is done about raising awareness of it.
I mean, that's how I feel about Black History Month. I'm like, oh God, here we go again. It's October. And it does annoy me, but I'm happy we have it, I guess. Like, it does amplify voices and all that kind of jazz. So I'm happy it exists, but I do feel every year I'm like, oh, it's Black History Month. Although, you know, we're black every month, but yes, in October we are. Even more black.
Extra.
We're blick.
Yeah.
Is
it that you don't want, you feel triggered about being reminded by it, or you just...
I think maybe I'm just not as emotionally strong at the moment as I normally am. And I'm not sure why. I mean, it will be fine. Like, I don't think I'm going to kind of crawl into a corner and be sobbing or anything nearly like that at all. But there is just a sense of me going, oh, I think I may just shed a few more tears this year.
A good cry, though. Do. That does the heart wonders. You know, that I remember it was Valentine's Day a couple of years ago, and I just sat on my bed and I just cried and cried and cried just because I felt sorry for myself. And I probably was on my period. But I was just like, I was at home alone. Probably the kids were running around and I just cried. And then I felt so much better afterwards and got on with my life. I didn't need to address it. I was like, yeah, cool, okay, let's go.
Isn't that what you were saying, Lauren? Your husband really encouraged you to just cry.
Just to cry.
He said, just let it out.
I think baby loss awareness week, I think it is good. I do also think it will be, it's triggering for some people. And I think, but it's, like you said, I think it is needed. I think it is something, like, I know I started just a blog when I got postnatal depression because when I had it, I just didn't know where to look. Who's had it? What is it? How do I get over this? Like, what even is, like, and I just didn't feel I could relate to anybody. So I just started my own blog, and there was the response I got from it from so many women feeling the same way. And then I had my miscarriage, and I didn't talk about it. I've actually never really spoke about it publicly until now, but I did write a blog. And I just, in my blog, just spoke about being angry. Just saying why, it was just literally a blog of, but why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why now? Why? And even that was just, it helped so many people. So I do think, I understand what you're saying. I feel a bit emotional this week. Like, I feel like, ugh, I don't know if it's the weather. I don't know if it's because I'm due on. I don't know if it's because I'm aware what week it is next week. But yeah, it's just one of them things, isn't it? Where I think it's needed because it is so taboo, and I think people should, and I think it creates a conversation. It creates that if somebody, let's just say, shares it on the story and their friend might have never known they ever lost a child, that might spark the, like, oh, how come you're sharing this? And then that might be their opportunity to say, well, you know, you might have not known, but a month ago happened. So it could just open.
And it's so common. So many people have been through it. I think the stats are like 1 in 4 that have miscarriage before 12 weeks. And as it goes on, I believe black women are twice as likely to suffer a later miscarriage or a stillbirth.
We always have the worst statistics.
Of course we are. It's just, like, can we get a day off?
Literally, just a day off, please, where it's just not us.
I'm really interested, actually, like, listening to you talk. Interested in who is Baby Loss Awareness Week actually for? Like, is it, and same with Black History Month, like, who is it for, though? Is it for people that are black to share stuff, or is it people that are not to understand what black people have gone through? And same with baby loss, is it people that have had baby loss experiences to share, or is it people that haven't and don't know anything about it to learn more? Like, what is the purpose of it?
Good question.
Yeah, very good question.
Yeah, I think for baby loss awareness, I do think it's about that conversation of sharing, because that's how you get more diagnosis. That's how you get more, you know, money behind research and stuff like that. And yeah. that's how we try and stop that. But I think for Black History Month, yeah, it's for white people. Just because we learn White History Month the whole year. So this now is your time to learn about Black history. So that's it's for you all. It ain't for me. I'm Black every month. I don't need that lesson. You need
and
to
even
listen.
Then, I got a message from my kids' school when because I keep prompting and asking what they're doing, and I'm getting a kind of All Lives Matter response. I'm getting
Stop
like, yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're doing it, but we have to cater for every child.
No, you
in
don't.
Our school.
It's Black History Month. No, you don't.
Don't worry, I'm formulating the reply in my
Listen,
head.
Listen, tag me
like,
in,
you
girl.
You have to cater. You're not doing this for my daughter. You're doing it because it's history. Like, she's learning about the Stone Age at the moment. Is there a child from the Stone Age period in her class that you're doing it for? Like, what?
There might be. Oh my gosh. Yeah, how long have you been at that school, Nadja?
Like about 3-4 weeks.
They're gonna hate you.
But you know what? Let me just say one last thing about Baby Loss Awareness Week. Because we've been working with SANS, who are a wonderful charity, baby loss and neonatal death charity. And through the partnership, we've had many, many conversations and really helped them to understand. And they were so willing to learn and listen and understand about the importance of having a Black support officer. Because look, if Black women are more likely to experience this kind of loss and they can see that Black women are not utilizing their services, they need to figure out why and they need to look into it. And through doing a survey that we put together, they've realized that actually Black women want to speak to Black women when it comes to something so close to the heart. To speak to somebody that they know will kind of get the nuances, kind of understand the background, where they've come from, their heritage, what the church community or the village community might be saying to them about their loss. And so now they have just employed their first Black support officer. And her name is Patrice. So I'm so excited that we will be working with Patrice. And she's wonderful. She really is. And she is 100% going to be focusing on supporting the Black community, those who have suffered loss. Not just the parents, but it could also be the grandparents because they're grieving as well. The aunties, the uncles. So Patrice, we will talk.
Girl, you got your work cut out for you. Literally. She's going to be busy. She's going to be busy. But no, I'm so glad that we're proud of it. I'm so proud that we are part of that partnership as well. I think it's just such a great partnership to be a part of. But ladies, that was beautiful. Still, we rise.
We
are
rise.
Here. We are better. We are unique. We are loved. We are smart. We are beautiful. We are desired. I am desired. I will be desired.
You are.
these are my affirmations that I'm going to go to bed kind of just repeating. But the most important thing is that we rise and we are just amazing. And gosh, this is such a lovely conversation. I'm so proud of us.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
Oh, thank you for sharing and being so open about it as well. And, you know, where can we find you? Where can people kind of find you if they want to know more about Dole?
So this is going to sound really like so proudful, but you can just Google me.
Oh, darling, that's how big you are. Just Google.
Google me. There are not many taller dolphins.
That's going to be Lauren's tagline now. Just Google me.
I'm going to say Google me. Yeah. I'm on Instagram at Christ Couture Girl. And my website is christcouture.co.uk. I do a weekly newsletter every Tuesday. And I am on the gram every week when I can cope with the rest of social media.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. And make sure you've got a book out still standing and it's on, you can get it on like all
I'm terrible
places.
For promoting my book. Yes, yeah. I have got a book out. It's in print and digital and audio. So I took 2 days to record the audio. So please listen to the audio because
I've been listening. You sound great. Yeah.
That was a labor of extreme love. And it's on Amazon, Waterstones, wherever people get books, all the good places.
And you'll be empowered after reading it or listening to it. So thank you.
Really, I really hope it inspires people, because I wrote it because I didn't feel like there was a book out there that did what I was looking for. It kind of helped people who are in the middle of their journeys. You know, I've gone through this, this and this, but I'm not at the other end. I haven't got married again. I haven't had another child. You know, the stuff that I'm, you know, being right in the middle, and you don't think people really talk about it enough or at all in some circles. So yeah, I hope it inspires people and empowers people who are in the middle of their journeys.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you, Dol.
Thank you, Dol, so much. That was great. And, you know, thank you for listening to this episode. Please make sure you rate, review and subscribe.
And make sure you follow us on Black Moms Upfront and at www.blackmomsupfront.com.
Big thanks, as always, to our sound engineer, Daniele Zazza. And we will be back next week with another pod. Ta-ra for now.
Bye. Bye.
We host. We talk. We write. We laugh. We cry. We love. We are Black Mums Upfront.